Running everything on here. 3, 2, 1. And good afternoon, everyone. Hopefully you're doing well on this somewhat gloomy Tuesday. I'm gonna dispose of my chewing gum, which is really rude of me. But hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining this Tech Tuesday. Appreciate each and every one of you from no matter where you are across the globe. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for joining. This is a special week, especially for the Porsche files when it comes to anything air cooled and water cooled, because this weekend is a very special event known as Air Water. Hello, Base Assassin 88, Carols and Pix. You've been just a great advocate. Thank you so much. Alex Puchanga, my good friend, how have you been? Long time no see. Hopefully you're doing well. Alwar Berigal, hello to you as well. Hello, Amir 1LE, good seeing you. Hick Jagger, nothing special, good seeing you. Thank you for joining. That's it. Tukuru on Instagram as well. We love you, he says. Thank you so much. Love you as well. Hello, Carol. What's up, my dude? Cool, cool, says Alwar Berigal. Good seeing you, brother. Thank you so much. Dapper Daver, 710. All is well. Thank you so much for joining. Bonjour, Stephanization, who's been quite a, how should I say, a normal face here on Tech Tuesday for a few weeks. Appreciate your presence. What's up, Kick Diesel? Hello, Nerrad. Thank you so much for joining. And for those of you on YouTube, thank you so much for joining this live opportunity for not only interaction, but also the opportunity to archive our moments and our discussions. And I also have a podcast network set up here as well. I'm thinking of switching over next week to also doing some stuff on TikTok, because they have a live function there. And we're starting to grow a good audience there as well. So next week should be pretty interesting. But for the podcast networks, we have everything from Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you name it, Anchor, now known as Spotify Podcasts. If you ever want to listen to us, type in BC Moto and you can find us, and we are there. Nice car lineup behind you, says Alwar Bergen. Thank you so much. A mix of classic sport compact and German, a mix of petrol and EV. We have it all going on here in the BC Moto showroom. Today's topic, off-road, is asking, how do you say it? Off-road, it's tight, a little tight. Anyway, yes, we have a lot to talk about. Events coming up in Southern California. That crazy post I put up yesterday where someone took a render of a lowered, wide-bodied Tesla Cybertruck and infused a petrol engine in it. We'll talk a little bit about that because I have some questions I want to talk about as well. I am Chris Vans, says, Wanekedu, Nakekimera, Dalon, no. He's obviously from my country and Igbo like I am, speaking the same language. One means brother, how are you? And other Noma means everything is good. So thanks so much for joining. Can we see the Great Cayman? Yes, it's kind of hard for me, Narad, forgive me for, because I have a lot of equipment going on here, multiple screens, multiple devices, and to carry all that over there will be difficult. What I'll do is maybe in one of my videos, I'll pull out and come back in and just focus on that alone. It's pretty cool. It's my first mid-engine Porsche ever. Started its life as an 07 Cayman S factory. I added a twin turbo system to it with a standalone EMS from AEM. And that thing made 450 horsepower. It was a lot of fun. And then we built the engine to something that can handle over 1,000. And that's what's in there now. So we're switching from air to air to liquid to air intercooling. And it's a lot of fun and really, really quite robust and extremely balanced, like you would see with any of the Porsches that are mid-engined. Above and beyond that, it has equal, if not more, power than many 911s. So it's almost like the perfect Porsche, as far as I'm concerned, with creature comforts to boot. Let's see here. I need a BC Moto 240Z, says Hick Jagger. We can make it happen. If it's this year, that'd be difficult. The team and I have our hands kind of full this year, but next season is definitely a possibility. Single Cam for Life, says username OTOFound7. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Username NotFound7. Wow, says I am Chris Vans. Yes, thank you so much. Single Cam for Life. I am very partial to single cam. You see that vehicle right there? You guys can YouTube right there, Instagram right there. It's my Honda Insight that kind of broke a ton of records for single cams, naturally aspirated, and still holds records till today, which is pretty exciting indeed. I need a K3V in my life, bro, says Alwar Berigal. I love that car. Driving it out this weekend, drove it this past weekend to quite a few events. And long story short, if you want me to build a replica for you, the team and I are more than gung-ho to do that. It'll just take a little bit of time because we have quite a bit on our plate. F23B2 is the best motor ever, says username not found. That can be quite debatable. There are a lot of good engines out there, but I appreciate your dedication to the Honda platform. Thank you so much. Sounds mad, says Narad. It does when started, indeed. F-Series swap a Porsche, says username not found 7. I think I have a lot of Porsche files who hate me already. So that would just add a little bit more. Believe it or not, one good reason to infuse a Honda or F-Series, whether it's F20, F22, whether it's a B, A, or C version. The reasons to do that is if you have a power plant that's not very reliable. Now, Porsche flat sixes and flat fours are quite reliable, extremely balanced, quite robust. The engineering is really sound from factory. Even if you go as early as the 3.0 air cools all the way up to the 3.6s, joining the 3.4s that we've had the opportunity to look for all the weak points on the 3.4s and then update them like we would a Honda motor using sleeves, pistons, rods, valve train. They are extremely, extremely reliable, robust, and sound amazing. So that being said, I tend to want to F-swap or Honda swap power plants that are not very good. If it's something like, you know, a Porsche right there, no, that's not a good idea, but I think there's a Rolls Royce right in front of it. You can barely see it right there. That may be a good one to put a Honda motor in, either a V6 Honda. In our case, we want to do something more with electrons. But those vehicles are very nice, but their power plants are quite, let's say they leave a lot to be desired in terms of reliability. So doing something like that would be great. But to do in a Porsche, I don't know. It may be going backwards or just going linear, you know, while on the same token, building a car that wouldn't be so exciting. Now, there's one caveat. If you have an air-cooled setup, and we've been thinking about this, I didn't even make a call around this as well. If you have an air-cooled power plant that's very, very expensive to build, and if you want to make a reliable 400 horsepower, it's kind of difficult to get it to pass emissions. Think about putting, let's say, a Honda F-Series that may come from the, let's say, how like an F20C out of the Type R. So thinking about putting an F20C engine that can pass emissions for the year of the motor, OBD2 capability into a classic Porsche. That would be pretty crazy, right? Or what engine would you recommend for a Porsche 944? Same thing. You know, those are the inline fours that can have a lot of potency, but leave a little bit to be desired. On the Honda realm, I wouldn't mind infusing, once again, an F20C factory engine and do a few mods to it. And with the factory-style fuel system, you can start back 400 wheel reliably on a stock setup, which should be quite potent and then pass emissions. That'd be cool, right? So that's quite attractive indeed. Thanks for the hearts. Appreciate that indeed, guys. And you never know. We may build one of those here at BCMoto. Been following you since a single cam overhead day, says Kick Diesel. Thank you for the support and advocacy. Really, really appreciate that. Please come back to Import Drag Scene, says Aloha Gold Buyers Maui. I would love to. Never really quite left, but the thing is that market became a little bit different. I think different is a proper descriptor for the scene. When I raced, it was, I'm trying to choose my words carefully. I wouldn't say more prestige. I wouldn't say, in other words, it was, there were rules in place that kind of made the playing field even. And if a certain platform had more of an advantage over others, rules were put in such a way to give some kind of parity within the power plants and classes. In nitro aspirated all motor, there were no traction control systems allowed, no nitro allowed, there were weights involved. There are advantages for people who ran unibodies like we did, full unibody versus a tube chassis car or back half. Things were there to allow vehicles to be in parity. Nowadays, I don't see the rules. I see a lot of complaints from modern day racers about putting rules in place, which a lot of them help with our safety, right? It's not as enjoyable or as, I would say restricted is the word. It is not as professional as it used to be. So that kind of turned me off to it. There's a lot of wrong with you brung, people like that. A lot of complaints from, instead of people running their cars, they'd rather run their mouth. That kind of made the drag scene and the import drag racing a little sour for me. So what I tend to do, I have no problem with test and tune days. I have no problem with maybe a few run with you brung competitions. But to compete the way we did, what we did a 12 series year, starting in Florida and working our way to the West Coast racing, I don't think that's a good thing for us to do right now in our BCMoto arsenal, if that makes sense. It's primarily because of the scene. It's how the scene is. It's just, I won't call it a degradation, but it almost is, from this professional series with their rules and regulations in place to now, those rules aren't quite there, and it doesn't make it as enjoyable or as fair. Because I got pleasure out of really pushing the envelope in my single cam engines to try and raise some of the K-series guys and B-series guys and A-series guys, because we're all kind of placed with weights and dimensions in parity. And if the K-series guy gets a little bit of advantage, it pushes me to do further. It's not you know, where you can just run with your brum, which, or the more dangerous your car is, the faster it can be because it's light or cut up or no cage or no license. I'm not interested in that. It's just a little different now. I think bike carbs is more efficient than Weber carbs. And you, says Stefanization. Now, that's a good question. There is a company known as Fast by Gast. Fast by Gast is a company based on the East Coast. They had these, instead of barrel, you know, barrel time with a throttle body, they had these slider carbs where you can just, you know, you have the hole, you have like a plate in front of it, and it just opens up, so you have this full flow. And the metering of the fuel was through a needle, which is supposed to be, in theory, very accurate, versus a Venturi with a Venturi inside that, or an inner Venturi and an outer Venturi. And what I found with Fast by Gast is that I had limitations with cross-sectional area, so I limited how much flow I can get in my engines. I tried those. And the atomization seen with those electron carbs, which is what they were just marginally better than that of the Webers, side of Webers. So because I was able to get 55 DCOSP Webers, and then companies out in the West Coast, especially some guy with bug companies, can go even larger and larger, and go larger than 55, you can get 60 custom side drafts. It seemed like a very good way to go. So the cost, if you know, that involved with the bicarbs or the electrons for by Fast by Gast versus the limitations of cross-section area, combine that with the atomization I saw with Webers and the different sizes you can get in both factory and aftermarket, that was a better product for us to use. And later on, if you want to go to injection, there are so many companies, like even Redline Weber themselves, that make bolt-on ITB solutions that can bolt onto your Weber manifold. So from a cost efficiency perspective and cross-sectional area which was available, I couldn't shake a stick at Weber's. When I had limitations with Mikuni's, which I loved for quite a while, and they were very tunable, much easier tunable, because they didn't have that many things to play around with as you see with Weber's, but they were very, very, very efficient. I ended up going to Weber's, and Weber's ended up being something that was very, very, very nice indeed. And no little wonder that companies like Ferrari and Maserati and Alfa Romeo were using them as factory issue. They're just really good, usable setups, you know? Do you have any updates on the Boxer clutch? Oh, yes, Amir, forgive me. Thanks for the reminder. It's just been a crazy week. Today's Tuesday. Yesterday was bananas. Today, I'll be departing the office in about 2 hours to run around as well, because I have meetings on and off site. I will go and check for you, okay? Thanks for the reminder. Right when we're done with this interaction today, I'll go upstairs to my mezzanine and check on that Boxer clutch for you, okay? Hang tight. Let's see here. Ever thought about going back and crushing our single cam records with the new tech? I've thought of a dapper dabber, but with all the projects we have going on here in-house, it doesn't seem like a good use of time and resources. The team and I are really, really inundated with projects, trying to get cars done, you know, this month into next month, and to get into SEMA, talking to some OEMs. It's unfortunately, and a lot of builders and shop owners do share this challenge with me. I have to take care of client and projects first, clients being, you know, privateers and OEMs, before I can have fun. So unfortunately, my stuff will be on the back burner. If there's anything coming out from my own passion project, it's something to kind of push the envelope in current technology that we're doing to help customers, but not necessarily going back and racing front-wheel drive Honda Insights. So I have to, I have everything in my engine room. I have new pistons from Traum, sleeve block from Golden Eagle, piece of motor camshafts. I still have my side draft stage injection Kinsler's. I have an engine management solution, new harness that right wire I put together. I have all this great stuff, but it's just me having time to, like, okay, I'm gonna put aside 3 days and build this thing and get it tuned. I just don't have that kind of time to spare, unfortunately. Got a 2001 Honda Accord four-door, says Ty Wayne 01. With the 5-speed, do you know anything about the F-23A? I know quite a bit about the F-23A. The F-23A is a very similar older sibling to the F-22A. Has a little bit of technology that also crossed over to the F-20C and F-20Bs you may see from newer Honda engines. The one thing I like about the F-23, even versus the H-23 or H-22, is that the sleeves are not those weird ones that have this coating on it where you cannot bore them out. So it has a standard ductile iron impregnated into aluminum sleeves. So if you need to go oversized slightly on F-23A, you can do it. The stroke on that are 97 millimeters. The girdle on the cage is absolutely beautiful, much stronger than you'd see with other engines, has the girdle that's quite robust. So I know quite a bit about that. The one challenge with the F-23A, even though they exist in non-VTEC and VTEC applications, mostly VTECs are the very popular ones, are the port cross-sectional areas. They're relatively small compared to the earlier F-22As. So if you wanna make a ton of power nitro aspirated, you are limited to your ports. If you wanna have a lot of fun boosting, you can make a decent amount of power. But nitro aspirated in that whole single cam F-series line, the F-22A, A1, A4, A6, those are my choices because those heads flow as much stock as many ported B-series. And as you think about how internal combustion engines work, the potency, the ability, the cap for making power typically sits in the cylinder head. So that's the way to go. Also got some questions registry about constructed vehicle registration, says Amir 1LE. And my knowledge there would be quite limited because I'm actually trying to get into that. We have a special constructed vehicle here that needs to be registered, so I'm still going through the process. You can ask some questions, but I may not have all the answers for you at this time. But coming soon, in a few months, I will be an expert in such a realm. Do you still have emission tests on 25 plus cars in Cali? What the F? That sucks. Yes, we do. California, unlike many, and this is from Mickey, the mechanic is asking this. I think he's in Texas based upon his avatar on his screen name. We used to have a rolling 25 year, which meant for those of you who don't know what he's talking about, to every 25 years in California for quite a while, if a car is 25 years or older, you don't have to worry about emissions testing or going to smog it. And that gave us this nice little loophole to have a lot of fun with older cars and build them and do whatever we want, not have to worry about smog or catalyst or anything. We just have fun with those cars. And they just made those cars very appealing as well to us enthusiasts. However, when Arnold Schwarzenegger became a governor here in the state of California, he put a bit of a moratorium on that rolling 25 years and it stopped it in 1975. So unfortunately, in California, 1975 and older, you have the opportunity of being smog exempt, with exception if someone reports you as a gross polluter, which let's say your car is smoking down the road and someone calls it in, ask me how I know this, and they say that your car was smoking on the freeway and could be detrimental to the environment, the California Department of Motor Vehicles can solicit you taking that car to a Bureau of Automotive Repair facility and have it inspected to make sure that it meets or exceeds the emissions requirements for the year of the car. So even if it was 74, 72, 69, 58, whatever year they had emissions for that year, it has to meet or exceed that. And they have to do a physical inspection and also a probe in the exhaust pipe to see what the compounds of combustion that are eliminated from the tailpipe. So yeah, it's sad. I mean, if I became in power, if I had the opportunity to become a governor or someone influential that has something to do with California Air Resource Board, I would reinitiate that 25 year because it's really good and I really did a great job in assisting us with, you know, hot rodding in Southern California, period, let alone Southern California. But I also have this other mindset around what I think about emissions. We sometimes lose sight of why emission standards are there. They're there to allow us in a perfect world to have a cleaner environment in terms of the air we breathe, in terms of vegetation and everything that goes on to make us safe for ourselves and our children, and our parents. And long story short, I think those in power, not being scientists or automotive enthusiasts, don't quite understand, have lost sight. So yes, I agree with sometimes they do tend to push the agenda in terms of EVs. I think that's the solution when there's a combination of that and there's some opportunities. Even though I am very partial to electric vehicles, that's not the be all end all. And above and beyond that, I really feel that if you have a car, let's say it's that Cayman right there, twin turbo. If that Cayman, no matter what fuel I use, has equal to or better tailpipe emissions than the factory, it should be allowed to pass. So if I'm running E85 on that, which I do, and my tailpipe emissions are cleaner than factory, which it is, I shouldn't be vilified for doing that. I should be able to have a probe in mind that charges a small fee. California loves taxes, right? Charges a small fee to have this exemption for modifications. You know, call it a modification exemption bill, okay? Call it a MEB. And with that MEB, you have the opportunity to have a modified car, but it has to pass emissions. It has to be equal to or better than a year. Then we can all have all the fun we want. Otherwise, you know what happens, guys? People get illegal smogs, or people put their car back to stock painstakingly. They pass emissions, and when they get home, they redo the car, take everything back off, and put their normal stuff on. And net-net, we're not helping the environment, right? So that being said, that's my thoughts. That's why I feel that should happen with the environment. And it's so unfortunate, you know? How is the F23 motor, says Taiwan 01. I mentioned that earlier. It has a decent potential with the stroke and capability. It's just limited with the valve train and the head in terms of flow. Different, you're so, oh, there you go, Speed Camp. For those of you who know Speed Camp, this is my very, very good friend, Roger. He was one of my first sponsors years ago. He was the one who even went injection when I didn't even know what aftermarket injection was. I remember he had Speed Pro, was his engine management system of choice. Way ahead of his time. We used to call him Roger 11-0 Scalise because he tried forever to break into 10s. It was always 11-0. Finally got there, but just had this very nice knack for hitting 11 flats consistently without qualms. So thank you so much, Roger, and I'll see you soon on your birthday, which is coming up very soon as well. Want to get an Accord CD7 or CB7, CD5 or CB7, you can't go wrong with either one. I like the CB7s because these look really cool. CD5s are okay, but I'm partial to CB7s. I just love the shape of the CB7. I love having F22A motors indoors with a lot of opportunity and a lot of build quality. Had both before. Good. I don't know what your choice is, but please let us know. John the Baptist 2021 is asking, do you sell any zip-up hoodies? I don't know if you're a spy or if you had the opportunity to become psychic, but my daughter and I were talking about that yesterday when I was dropping off to school. I said, hey, what would you think I'd be getting zip-up hoodies? Because some of the hoodies I sell are pullovers. So I want to get some zip-up hoodies. So John, based upon my discussion with my daughter, Dearest, yesterday, and the fact that you brought this up, I'm going to work diligently end of this week to put together some Beast Moto zip-up hoodies because they're nice. I wish I had one on right now. Instead, I have this kind of members-only jacket, but a zip-up hoodie would be pretty nice indeed. So yes, I don't sell them yet, but expect them to come up very soon. You ask for it, and I shall supply it. I love how you innovated the NA racing scene, says Aloha Gold Buyers Maui. Thank you so much. The thing is that we had no other option. So for those of you who may not know, I started racing as far back as 1994. Street racing, Hondas, and so on and so forth. I had my CRX, which was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, in the mid to late 90s, you couldn't just go to a BC Moto and buy parts. You couldn't go to Amazon, eBay. You couldn't call Speed Factory. There was none of that existed. And if you want to go fast, you kind of had to figure things out yourself. And if you didn't have the capability of figuring things out yourself, you were just slow. So those individuals who kind of reigned supreme in sport compact drag racing at the time were innovators, and we were forced to do that. Now, were we islands? No. Just like today, and as I work with my team to create wonderful creations, it's not just me. At the time, I had to solicit the input and influence of old school hot rodders. So those guys from the 60s and 70s who did all kinds of things with Camaros and the Mavericks and their Barracudas and all that fun stuff, whether it's Ford, Dodge, or even Chevrolet, whether it's people like Ed Iskandarian or Nick Arias III. I mean, you have to pick their brains, John Conciaudi, so on and so forth, to find out what did you do back in the day to make your cars go fast, and then you kind of take that same technology and apply it to your Hondas, whether it's tri-wire versus 4-to-1 headers, whether it's camshafts and cam gears, whether it's going more lift and duration, whether it's putting larger valves, pouring the heads, putting bigger valve seats, you name it, higher compression, bigger bore, sleeving. I had the opportunity to be part of the very first Honda sleeve block ever by Mike Coftree. He was with Benson's at the time, and Benson's was in Orange County, a very small machine shop that primarily worked on domestics. Yeah, you wouldn't know that based upon their business nowadays. And Mike Coftree had this great idea because we kept cracking blocks to kind of bore out all the factory Honda blocks and then put in ductile iron sleeves. I remember the first one he built, he gave to me to put in my CRX. I put it in, and when I first filled it up and built it, the oil mixed with water. He's like, what the heck? What happened was his sleeves were pressed in, so the water in the water jackets got into the oil crankcase. So he came up with a very simple and elegant solution, which was using JB Weld around the bottom, pressed it in, and then boom, sealed. And as we came more and more prevalent and successful with sleeving through RS Machine, RS Motorworks at the time, that Richard Salvador and I started in his garage, we had the opportunity to continue to push the envelope and have a lot of fun. And then other companies came on, Darton, Gonigo, everyone started, and before you know it, sleeving just became a thing. But rest his soul, he's no longer with us. Mike Cofftree was a father of American Honda sleeves, or Honda sleeves, period. And I was very honored to be part of that. So once again, what is my main emphasis here? Yes, thank you so much for the kind words around innovation, around natural aspirated drag racing. But on the same token, I couldn't have done that without the support of some very talented people, which I continue to do today. I couldn't do what I'm doing here today without my team here either. Let's see here. Random question says, I need TV. Are you going to be at the Fuel Fest LA this year? And if so, what car are you taking this year? Great question. So it's so sad because I love Fuel Fest. It's an event that years ago had the opportunity, thanks to the fans from Fast and Furious, in particular Paul Walker, would invite me to the event. The first one I went to was at the Anaheim Angel Stadium, and it was packed, it was pouring, but we still attended that, and it was still just ridiculously packed. And with Paul's passing, Cody has now taken the helm of that. And Cody wrote to me recently to ask me to please come out to that particular event and participate and even speak, which I'd like to. Unfortunately, that same weekend is Electrify Expo in Long Beach, and we're launching a car there. So Electrify Expo is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Fuel Fest is Saturday, primarily the afternoon through the evening. So what I'm trying to do is attend Electrify Expo on Friday, attend Saturday morning, hot tail it out to Fuel Fest with the K3V, the pink and gray 935 tribute, and then go back to Long Beach for the event on Sunday to tie everything up and be done. So that's what I have so far. It's Need TV. I will keep you posted on my activity, but that looks like what I'll have going on. And we're trying to see what we can do with the team from Fuel Fest to manage my interaction there. So hang tight and hopefully I do not disappoint you. I don't know, says, question, I have a mobile detailing business. Would that qualify as an automotive industry to go to SEMA? Yes, it would. Absolutely. If you are a SEMA member and you have a mobile detailing business and you're in the industry and you have a certain amount of revenue when you register as a SEMA member, there's a certain amount of revenue that you have to submit to be able to determine your fees. And just put that number in and the fees should be quite nice and you can attend. SEMA is a wonderful place. For those of you who know what SEMA is, it's a large show in Vegas, which happens typically last week through first week of November. This year is the first full week of November, and it's a place where aftermarket, in terms of performance, reigns supreme. Whether you love cars, motorcycles, trucks, you name it, that is the place to be. It is the mecca for everything aftermarket and automotive. So, if you haven't had the opportunity, it's industry only, by the way, with exceptions of Fridays, they allow some public to come in, and Saturday and Sunday after the event is like a big SEMA fest, which is like almost like a big concert with music and cars alike. They tend to go hand in hand, right? So that being said, if you haven't attended SEMA and you're in the industry with a shop or you're affiliated with a shop, you need to go. I'm always there. I think minimum we've ever had was like 4 cars. We used to have anything from 4 to 7 cars on display at SEMA. It's great. It's a great place to be and just absolutely fantastic. Let's see here. All right. More questions. Hello, Brilliant Detailing Services. Thank you for joining. Appreciate you. Oh my God, I missed so much. Greetings to all of you. Thank you so much. Okay, let's see here. Your race cars look sad in the background, says ITB Kevin, who, by the way, is a good friend who started as a customer. There's this awesome 4-door Civic, old school EF style. I said, look sad. Yeah, it's just there. Still there with parachutes, still there with the dash, still there with the shifter, still there with the, you know, all the accoutrements and safety. I think I need to update my cage for my certification. I think my cage expired last year. So I need to take that to Irwindale, to NHRA, to get it redone, you know? Members only jackets, username not found, saying this. By the way, Kevin is very sad, the fact that I've actually transitioned slightly into filling up my car with electrons versus filling up with petrol. Even though he understands as an enthusiast that going fast is the name of the game, and for me to run low nines with a bone stock factory Tesla Plaid with just slight modifications is amazing. On street tires, by the way. I'm telling you, Kevin, you drive that Plaid and you floor it, it will change your mind. When you come by next time, I'll make sure you have a whirl in it. I think you'll find it quite appealing indeed. Let's see here. Benzins, yeah, just cheap. No way. Guys, we are graced with an amazing presence. And Jeff Chichoff is the president and co-founder of The Progress Group in Orange County, California. This gentleman is just amazing. So you talk about the insight, talk about my CRX, me breaking records. It doesn't matter how much power I make. It doesn't matter how much power I made. If I couldn't put the power to the ground, it was rubbish. And Jeff Chichoff and his company were able to successfully allow me to have suspension components that allowed that impeccable adhesion. I don't know if Jeff remembers this, but I used to get protested with that car all the time because people thought that my suspension was controlled by my AEM and that was illegal, and it wasn't. It's just Jeff and his team did such a great job with the valving in my rear and front shocks that the front stayed planted and the rear, when I stayed, would come down and stay down, and as I took off, would gradually come up. And it was just this wonderful orchestration of everything, physics and hydraulics, that was just amazing. Had nothing to do with electronics, was well within the rules, and was absolutely fantastic. And I used to cut 1/360 foots with that all day, all night, and just broke records. My first natural aspirated car to hit 150 miles an hour was that car right there. And that was thanks to Jeff and his team. So Jeff, thank you so much for all you did for me and the team. Thank you so much for joining us on this Tech Tuesday. I miss you. I need to come visit you guys again and do a Tech Tuesday from your facility. And I look forward to working with you again in the nearest future. All right, let's see here. Now he's going to get batteries blast. Oh, stop. Of course I love my batteries. I just love anything that makes me go fast, Kevin. You know that, you know. I prefer the CD5 because of SIR. Yeah, the CD5 SIR is pretty nice, but they're very difficult to get out here in the US. But nonetheless, it's Neat TV says, okay, for sure. Just wondering because I had some nice pictures from last year of your Porsche. Yeah, last year I had the black Mobi, and that one right now, for those of you who don't remember, it's a black, large 935 Mobi Dick, super wide, as long as my dually truck. It was a collaboration between myself, Errolson Hugh from Acronym, and also the Kaiser concept artist, who you guys see is extremely talented here on Instagram, for you, those of you who are watching on other platforms. And that vehicle is now at the prestigious Peterson Museum on display for the We Are Porsche exhibit. And then we kind of, as I put that in, I kind of grabbed the K3V, so that's now back with us. And it was a lot of fun. Did some new modifications to the K3V's firmware recently to play around with my BMS control, and had some success fast charging this weekend, which is great. So I was very excited to see that. And I'm going to extrapolate all of that technology to all of the builds here in-house for clients and for ourselves as well. So yeah, in the event I go by there to Fuel Fest, you have the opportunity to photograph if you're there. Something a little different from the team BC Moto. I have a Volt, says is not there. Think the aftermarket will allow for battery replacements as this car gets older? Yes, it would, but it would require some customization. So the Chevy Volt, which by the way, if your batteries get older and you start getting some degradation issues, Chevy still sells that T-shaped battery pack brand new. And it's pretty relatively cost effective. And that battery pack brand new is made by LG Chem, and they have thousands of them in inventory. So you may be okay for the next couple of decades. I don't know if you'll still be driving your Volt by then. If you do, kudos. But if you have any challenge with degradation, you can easily find replacements for that. Because of its T-shape and the configuration with the BMS and how that's configured in that chassis, it'll be slightly cost prohibitive to update the batteries to something else unless some engineering firm did the homework for you. To do yourself can be quite interesting, quite expensive, especially since that BMS that you may use will have to output the same kind of CAN information out to the network as the factory did and keep everything happy. So the opportunities for those batteries that are a lot more robust, a lot more power and energy dense and lighter to fit in that configuration, but it's just making everything work together is where the expense come to play. If you just want a bolt-on replacement, Chevrolet has it for you in spades. All right. Wow, someday I'd like to work in your workshop. They are magnificent, like BC Moto. Astra, Elfin, 19. We're always looking for great people to join our team. I was just talking to Jonathan about that yesterday evening and how we need to expand fairly quickly in the short term. So yeah, please keep in touch. And if you have a resume, send it to sales@bcmoto.com. And Lindsay can look at it. And if she likes what she sees, she will bring you in for an interview. Supercar Sean, greetings, brother. How are you? Long time no see. Supercar Sean is a very huge automobile aficionado, someone who I respect very much. Thank you so much for joining this BC Moto Tech Tuesday. Hello, username found seven. I'm not found seven. I appreciate your input here. Huckleberry Finn, hello, brother. How are you? He says, what does K3V run in the quarter? I haven't timed the K3V in the quarter mile. I haven't had the opportunity to get the drag to this quarter mile. I did do eighth mile and it ran 6:28, almost 6:30, 6.3, which is quite impressive indeed for a very big, how should I say, tribute Kremer. Much better. All my best to you as well, Jeff Chichov. Giovanni, hello, how are you, sir? Thank you so much for joining, brother. Thank you so much. It's been a long time since you and I interacted with each other. Hopefully you're doing well. I know, I never stopped talking smacks at ITB, Kevin. The funny thing, Kevin, is that I felt the same way for many years. I was not an advocate of EVs at all in about a decade or so ago. And I just didn't want anything to do with them. Even slightly less than a decade, I wouldn't even sit in one. You couldn't pay me to do that. So I completely understand your, how should I say, lack of enthusiasm around that particular type of propulsion. But after building the K3V and experiencing it, like Jeremy just mentioned a moment ago, it just changed my mind. To have a 0-6, you have 206, to be in California and not worry about emissions, to be able to have a Porsche that doesn't leak, that it starts up each time, doesn't stink up my garage, where I can get a ton of attention for being relatively quiet. It's not completely quiet, it's relatively quiet. It has a nice whine to it in the background. It is a win-win. And just think about it, guys. There's also a very beautiful economic component to that, Kevin. And that is, if I were to build, let's say, a 600 horsepower 930 and wanted to pass emissions and use a flat six engine, do you know how much it'll cost me to be able to get that to make that kind of power and be emissions friendly and still not smell like crazy or have challenges and still be extremely reliable? It'd be easy a couple hundred thousand just in the engine itself, let alone you having to really update the gearbox to be able to handle that kind of power, change gearing to make a lot of fun, so on and so forth. But with an EV conversion, you can do less than half of that price. It's emissions friendly. It's in such a way that it's set up. So for example, Huckabee who's here, Jeremy who's here, we're updating his system to whereby and I spoke about this sometime last week, where the drivetrain stays the same, right? Because it's quite robust, can go hundreds of thousands of miles without qualm, and has a brushless three-phase motor, very efficient, 90% efficient, amazing. And then you can update batteries as technology improves. So if the time comes where he has access to more energy or power dense batteries that are lighter, the car get better and better, the BMS can stay as is, and the batteries update, just like we talked about the Volt, but it won't be super cost effective. That can happen. We're laying up his car to also accept the new NACS setup. So when the time comes where there's a lot more NACS or Tesla chargers around this area, it's very, very easy to be able to just change a plug, and within hours, it can be adopted to use that opposed to CHAdeMO and J1772. There's just so many opportunities there in terms of it just being fast, and he would smoke any 930 that he comes across. A 930 would have to make well over 900 horsepower to beat him, which is amazing indeed. So, Kevin, you and I have known each other for years. It's all about racing, winning, doing well, having fun, living life. I'm telling you, this propulsion is the way to go. Going back to what I was going to mention earlier when we first came in, I put up a post yesterday about this render of a Tesla Cybertruck with a V12 motor infused in it. Now, if this was to be brought to fruition, it'd be a very expensive ordeal, but above and beyond that may end up being even slower than the Tesla, how it was in factory format, which kind of makes it a little more kind of silly to do, right? But the interesting thing is that at the very bottom, I mentioned a type of criteria where I may be okay with something like that, and that's if it ran off of hydrogen. There's hydrogen technology nowadays that allow for very, very clean emissions, and also the sound that some people and rumble people tend to be accustomed to or envelope when it comes to internal combustion. And honestly, guys, whether it's with this Cayman or my minivan, which all run alcohol, by the way, and even this race car here, all run alcohol because I wanted to feel better about what I was doing when I was racing and having fun. it still has that small component of hydrocarbons that exist that can still go in the atmosphere and form oxides of sulfur and oxides of nitrogen, which I don't feel good about. And at least with me having solar at home and being able to charge my cars accordingly and be able to drive around and have fun, it makes me feel good where I can eat my cake and have it too. And, you know, using components that are already manufactured as well, which is quite nice. So it really does reduce that carbon footprint quite nicely. I think you said something, Ken. I may have missed it. And what do you mean update your cage that thing's never going to run again? Well, it is going to run. I mean, it's never say never. We're at a point now where, once again, Team and I, Jonathan and I were talking about yesterday about how we're streamlining things here at BC Moto to make it very efficient and much quicker for our customers. One thing about us is that we continue to evolve and change things for clients to make it better and better and better. And it tends to make things go a little bit longer than we anticipated. And so as we streamline those things and really focus on certain streams of manufacturing, we're going to have the opportunity to be able to streamline and improve very quickly and implement them more quicker than I'd like as well. And what does that do for me as BC? It gives me a little bit more time for myself. And as I have time for myself, I can have time to bring that out. So don't be surprised if you see that come back out, but it will be with cleaner fuel, either with the hydrogen type fuel or with an electric component or a combination of the two. Don't be surprised at all. Kuya Toki Star, how have you been? Hopefully all are well. Traction control EV cars, Giovanni CP Motorsports is asking, and that is a need. That is absolutely needed. The one thing that I experienced in the K3V and the Mobi is that I have to go back and tune my vehicle control unit maps to allow for any type of decent driving. And what I mean by that, with electric vehicles, you can have 100% torque at 1 RPM. Yes. With all of our cars, whether it's mine or the client's cars here, we can throw 700 pound-foot of torque at 1 RPM. And that makes for a very glorious takeoff, for lack of a better word. And being that it makes for a glorious takeoff, doesn't make for a very enjoyable drive. You're just smoking tires left and right. It's kind of expensive with tires after a while as well. So we use torque management and tuning to do that. Now, there's another caveat there where you can use a slew rate type of control, like most manufacturers do, and some aftermarket do as well, and we are implementing here in-house as well, to allow you to have the best traction. And with slew rate is like a, think of it as an RPM over time. So a rate of change of RPM over time. We know that your car, let's say if I converted that vehicle, right, that I came into EV, I know it's impossible for me to get 0 to 60 in 1 second. So if I see my RPM go, or my speedometer go from 0 to 60, or my RPM shoots up to where I have a 1 second 0 to 60, I know that's wheel spin. So I know that's something like 2 seconds, 199, 2.1, 2.2, maybe more realistic. So whenever I see a rate of change of acceleration that exceeds that, I pull back torque to match or be close to that. And that's what slew rate does, all using electronics, but we as tuners have to program that in. And that's kind of what sets us apart from other builders out there in terms of EV solutions. A lot of them are just engineers who happen to build EV cars. They've never tuned, never had the opportunity to play around tuning vehicles that internal combustion. So they don't quite understand the tuning aspects of making cars really handle or drive a certain way. While I ourselves, we've raced, we've tuned for decades and just built really cool cars. So we kind of take that same ethos and put into electric cars and make them a lot of fun, just way faster than we're accustomed to, which is quite amazing indeed. Let's see here. You let me drive the K3V and I still don't want it. No, you didn't drive the Plaid. You haven't driven the Plaid at all. Wait till you drive that. K3V is very analog. And for you, kind of used to traction control and launch control and that fun stuff, analog can really scare you. And guys, for those of you who don't know, the K3V is very, it's like a old Porsche with this new technology, but it's up to you to drive. It has mechanical brakes. Unlike what we're doing for Jeremy here, it doesn't have an iBooster. It has just full mechanical wheelwood brakes, no assist, no traction control. It's kind of almost wrong with your brain when it comes to your foot. If you get into it, it can go sideways easily. It's just bananas. So other cars have a little, you know, you can put nannies in them or remove it. I can tend to tailor to what the customer wants. And that being said, the Plaid is just, it feels like that, my insight, but better, you know? Sure, it's easy, just don't register in California. I wish that was the case, Kevin, but the EPA is really coming down on speed shops. from Diesel Brothers to the guys out in Colorado. I just thought of their name the other day. It kind of escapes me, to Evans Tuning. These are people who are out of state, and they still got popped by the EPA, because the EPA is a nationwide entity, not just a California, like the California Air Resource Board is, which is quite unfortunate indeed. What are your thoughts on repurposing Tesla cells and Orion BMS for an EV conversion? It says Thrax, or Thrax Squad, or the X Squad. Here's my challenge with what you shared. I do like the Orion BMS. That's my go-to. I love Orions. They are, when it comes to engine management solutions, it reminds me so much of the AM Infinity in terms of what I can do. It balances cells extremely well. It's a little more expensive than other units out there, but I love it because of it, because of the capabilities. Allows me to torque manage based upon state of charge and temperatures. Allows me to do wonderful things with fast charging. Allows me to do wonderful things with standard charging. It is just a monster. It sends out data so I can use it for determining state of charge and health of battery. It's just an amazing BMS. However, as a performance guy, you see Kevin and I going back and forth, I am partial to cells that are more power dense than energy dense. So what I've seen with Tesla cells and their battery packs is that they do have a decent footprint. They do great with energy in terms of where you want to get range. But when you pulse them for power, when you floor it, it tends to sag voltage a lot. So I can take a Tesla motor with Tesla batteries in a car, same weight, do a pass. Take the same Tesla motor, same car, same weight, add weight to it to get to the same weight as Tesla batteries, put another battery pack from LG Chem that's more power dense, and the car's faster. Because if you have a 400 volt system, you start at 400 and you floor it and it sags with Tesla cells down to 320, you're only getting power of 320 volts to your motor. You take another setup and you floor it and it's more power dense and only sags to, let's say, 360, you're now making power at 360. You have that 40 volt difference, which a 40 volts is a lot in an electric motor. It's a lot in terms of power. You'd be much faster. So I don't like the footprint of Tesla cells. I don't like the fact that they are very energy dense and take a lot of footprint, are quite heavy. I tend to lean more towards power dense batteries and use an Orion BMS for those. And my manufacturer of choice is LG Chem. Okay, let's see here. Some great support, some great questions here. Something went wrong with my stream. How's my stream so far? Hopefully you guys are okay. Hopefully it's not messing up too much. Hello, Concept 3. Thank you so much for joining. Good seeing you. Let's see. Has Orion finished his CCS fast charging implementation yet? No, not as of last week. So I did reach out to Andrew Eworth, the owner of the company, and no updates for me yet. So what I asked was a two-sided question, actually. I asked for CCS and also for NACS. But what keeps us happy in the meantime is, as I continue to play around with CHAdeMO, there is what just came out, a CHAdeMO to CCS adapter that exists. But to be honest with you, moving forward, I am kind of leaning towards NACS. And if I had a magic wand, I'd ask Andrew Ewer, which I have prodded him, to pitch more towards NACS, because that seems to be a very popular setup. And I feel that that's where kind of everything is going. I love the architecture of it. It's very small, can easily fit in gas caps. You don't have to put multiple ports in your setup. You can use one port for level one, level two, and level three charging, which is great for us, as you can imagine, Covolt, fellow engineer. So yeah, Danger Derek, I'm great. How are you? Having a great Tech Tuesday today. Go much longer than I typically do, but enjoying every moment of it. My pleasure indeed, Thrax Squad. Thank you so much. Isn't CHAdeMO limited to 50 kilowatts? Yes, it is. It's limited to 50 kilowatts. And on average, when I use, I see 38, 40. I've seen 25 kilowatts. Yes, you are correct. So in terms of how quickly it can charge a decent-sized pack, it is limited. But it's a very straightforward protocol, and one that I'm surprised more people don't use, because it's very unfortunate that a lot of companies out there, really with the opportunities and abilities to explore, my watch is telling me to get up and walk, to explore fast charging, and they don't. A lot of setups have as big as 64 kilowatt hours and slow charging. So yeah, unfortunately, no. What I have done with a couple of cars in house that have CCS is I've used something from another company based in Belgium. I'm drawing a little bit of a blank on their name. I think it's Avantix. So I've used their stuff, but that's an additional almost $2,800 in components to add that to a vehicle. And we're still in testing with that as well. So I keep you guys posted with how much success we've had with that. Well, guys, it's been a slice of heaven. I really appreciate you joining me on this wonderful Tech Tuesday and for all your wonderful questions. I will be interacting with you next week, Tuesday, as well as we get into a new month. Hopefully, everything is great. Hello, Uncle Big Elmer. Good seeing you. I'm great. Just signing off. And in the meantime, stay safe, everyone. For those of you in Southern California, please stay safe and dry. I saw a mishap on the way to work today, and hopefully none of you get interacted with such a way. But take care of yourselves. See you soon, and cheers. Bye-bye.